Well, good morning, everyone. Turn to your neighbor, if you would, and just wave at them, smile at them, whatever. Welcome them this morning. Let them know that they're at the right place. It's a great-looking crowd today, and I'm so excited to be together and thank God for the privilege we have of worshiping Him and to do this with you. I welcome all campuses that are with us today, and those of you that are watching online, I encourage you to hit the share button. Somebody might need what we're talking about today, and this might be their lifeline, so go ahead and hit that share button today and invite them to be along. It is exciting to think about the ways God is working, and I know that He is working even in this message series because His Word always stands tall. His Word stands up above the fray. His Word stands above all the noise of life. And if we look to Him, we'll find the strength, the anchor, the point of reference that we need to be able to live our life and to navigate it with success as we follow after Him. We're talking about common stories for uncommon living. And it is so important to be able to embrace these simple stories that Jesus gives with grand meaning to allow them to sink into our lives and to really minister to our heart, because He can do that, and He'll do it again today, I believe, as the truth unfolds today. Well, He's talking about several dichotomies in Matthew chapter 7 in His Sermon on the Mount. As He gives us these kind of contrasts, He wants us to understand there is a difference between being a wise person and being a foolish person. As a matter of fact, He talks about the wise person taking a narrow way. He talks about him growing good fruit, and He talks about them building efficiently and wisely on the right basis. And He also talks about foolish. It's a person that hears God's word, that has the opportunity to embrace truth, but they ignore that and choose to live their life apart from that. And there are many people in our society today that are very, very wise. We're looking at wise people sitting right around this room today. There are many wise people who will be in the next service. And in many churches across the world today, there are many wise people, people that are following after Him with their whole heart. They are built on a solid rock, and they are living fruit-filled lives, and they are walking in the way that God wants them to go. So today's message might be an affirmation. It might be an encouragement. I'm not sure how God will use it for you. There are also many foolish people in our world today. They may appear right, but He says in this passage, they're not right because they're not bearing the right fruit. They're not walking the right way. They're not living for Him. And so He talks about what happens to us at the end, and He wants us to understand that. Now, you may know some people who need instructions like this. If you use a Duraflame log, it says, caution, risk of fire. If you have a Batman costume, you might have found this, warning, cape does not enable user to fly. And some of you use a sunscreen on your windshield, I do, and that cardboard is there, but it says, do not drive with the sunshield in place. Duh. And some of you have portable strollers for the little ones that you push around, and it says, remove infant before folding for storage. That's a pretty good idea. But some people must need that somewhere, so somebody got it. Somebody told me this week that they had picked up a jar of peanuts, and it says, caution, this jar may contain peanuts. And they thought, duh, that's why I'm buying it. But someone with a peanut allergy might just grab it, not thinking, and if they do, they're in trouble. Dr. Laura, I don't go to her for much theology, of course, but I did pick this up from her. I thought quite interesting. She said, decide between now and dead how you want to live your life. That's good. Decide between now and dead how you want to live your life. And that almost sums up these verses that are given to us here and the truth that is given to us by Jesus today, because He wants us to really think about that in the passage that He's given to us. Today in Matthew 7, I'm just going to highlight three parts of our faith journey that show us how to follow Christ with the goal of being wise and being victorious. The first we're going to look at is kind of like God's GPS. We want to start out our faith journey well. No matter your age, no matter where you find yourself in life, you want to start your faith journey today if you haven't begun it, and you want to start it out well. Verses 13 and 14 are where we find this. He illustrates this by giving us two paths that are very much so in contrast. He talks in verse 13 about a wide path And he says that is a wide path that a lot of people will enter because it is an easy way, because it's just kind of a drifting way, but it is a way that does not include God. Then he, in verse 14, says there is a narrow way. He says this path is less traveled, but it does include God, and this is the path that I want you to take. And so he gives us this understanding. The best time to follow Jesus Christ is right now, to follow him right now, to embrace him in your life. Perhaps you're sitting here today or listening today and you're a younger person and you say, wow, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I don't know what I want to really follow. But everybody follows something. I want to encourage you to follow the Lord. You can think about Joseph in the Old Testament. He was a young guy. And being a young guy, just being a teenage guy, he had these dreams that were so exciting about his future. And he wanted to go tell his brothers. And you remember the story, how his dad gave him this great coat of many colors and all of that. And he was a great guy. But if you'll follow Joseph's life, though he was very immature in telling his dream to his brothers, and though he probably thought his dream would be fast forward somehow, and perhaps wished it to be, you will follow his life and you will see that the scripture tells us the Lord was with him. That's powerful. He followed after the Lord no matter where he went, and life wasn't easy for him. I want to encourage you to choose early to follow Christ. And what does the scripture say about Mary, the mother of Jesus? She was a righteous lady. She was a young lady. We don't know exactly the age that she was, but most likely a teenager. And she was a righteous lady. And the Lord chose her to give birth to Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you're a younger person, to consider the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble will come and the years approach when you will say, I found no pleasure in them. We want to pursue Christ now. But some of you may say, well, I'm in my mid-years. Perhaps you will say I'm kind of midlife or mid-career, and maybe I haven't really embraced God, or maybe I'm kind of on that broad path and I haven't even thought about the claims of Christ. This news to me today, I don't really know anything about it. Well, there's a lady in the Bible, her name was Ruth. Ruth grew up in a land called Moab, and when she grew up there, they did not serve God. They did not follow God's teachings, but she married into a family, and the family did observe God, and they did follow God's teaching, and so she says, oh boy, I want to follow God. As a matter of fact, after she had married, sometime later, her father-in-law died, her brother-in-law died, and her husband died. That's a 3-for-1 right there. Man, oh me. I don't know what kind of insurance they had, but it wasn't too good because her mother-in-law, Naomi, said, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. And this is what Ruth said as a lady who was already starting her life, living in some of those years of life. She said, I will go with you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And where you lodge, I will lodge. She made a decision in her mid-years. She was going to follow after God. And probably you've heard of the Apostle Paul, if you're newer to the church or newer to the Bible or maybe logging on today for the first time saying, what's it all about? There's a guy named the Apostle Paul, and you hear about St. Paul this and St. Paul that and all of that. He wasn't always St. Paul. He used to be Saul. Persecuted Christians, hated them, wanted to do away with them, did not like Christ, did not believe the claims of Christ. He was on a very religious path, but it was a broad path that did not embrace God as he should. One day he has his vision, and boy, when he has his vision, he says, wow, I'm devout for the wrong thing. I'm pursuing everything in a wrong way. It must have been very humbling for him because he had been taught by the very best of his era, Gamaliel and others, and he had been given the best of everything, and he was among the elite of the elite. So it must have been a very humbling moment when God shows up in a vision to him and says, you don't do this. This is wrong. And you know what he did? He was wise enough to say, I'm not going to keep going the way I'm going. Here's what he did. Made a U-turn, because God allows him, followed the GPS of God, and he got on the path of God's teaching, the narrow way, living in the way God wanted him to go. And some of you today may say, I'm near the end of my life. Perhaps you're even coming to that point of your last breath. I don't know where you find yourself today, but I do know this. We all have an expiration date. And you might even find yourself like the thief on the cross at the very, very end of life. He calls out unto Christ, said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. So we want to start our journey well. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says this, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. And so I want to encourage you, if you've not made peace with God, to open your heart to Him. He sent Christ to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. Christ rose from the dead, and He offers forgiveness, purpose for living, and He offers you the gift of eternal life, trusting in Him. And He leads us in the way that we should go, and He gives us the scriptures that we can follow. This week, some of you perhaps saw on the news, the University of Georgia, they had Unite Georgia event recently, where they had thousands of students from the University of Georgia attend a very Christ-centered event, and hundreds came to faith in Christ at the University of Georgia. And they had impromptu baptistries, pickup trucks, with either tanks in the back or where they put the tarps in where they could baptize, and they baptized many people over the last week. One of them said this in an interview that I saw this week. He said, I want to make sure I say it the way he said it. He said, if you will give your life to Christ, He will not let you down. That's what He wants for every one of us, to give our life to Christ. It'll have a lot of twists and turns. Auburn University had the same thing happen about a year ago. Asbury University had the same thing happen about a year ago, where God began to move among them. We have many children's events where God is moving, and children in this church are coming to faith in Christ, where teenagers are coming to the ministry of the church and they are finding Christ, and youth camp just ahead this summer, and there will be many that will find Christ. We have a strong young adult group that gets together, and once in a while they've invited me, and I'm amazed at their passion to follow after Christ. And we have a lot of other ministries, like the men's retreat last weekend that many of you went to and were able to attend. And then we have things like our Lador retreat for the older group among us, where we get to go and fellowship and experience the presence of God. And we have services just like this and online opportunities where wherever you are, whatever you're experiencing, you have the opportunity to do what he talks about here, and that is live well. And that is to connect with him and to walk with him as you start well. Look at verse 17 and 19. He compares now trees, and he says, I want you to be productive. I want you to live well. He talks about a good fruit. I like the positive of this. He talks about the good tree. He says, grow through following Christ daily. In John chapter 15, it's interesting. You read it, and it talks about no fruit. Then it talks about fruit. So there went from no fruit to producing this fruit, and guess what happens then? Look at verse 5. Comes on the screen. I am the vine, you are the branches. It's talking about an analogy of us being in Christ. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So to produce the fruit that he's looking for, that is a life of love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith, all that he's talking about, to live a life that exudes those graces and exudes the presence and the giftings of the Holy Spirit, he says, if you want to do that, you went from no fruit to fruit to much fruit. And I want to encourage you today on something that I think is very important. We look at this and we think, well, I go from no fruit to fruit, and I hope that's good enough. God wants us to be abundant believers. He wants us to live victorious, to know that we are more than conquerors. Those are passages in the scripture. And when he comes to us and wants us to be more than conquerors, he's not wanting us to just satisfy with just a little blessing sometime, but he wants us to go ahead and live where the spout is really pouring it out, as if we're drinking from the fire hydrant. He wants us to be able to have the overflow of the blessing, to where he is in us, he is on us, and no matter what happens in our life or what happens to us, we are going to produce the fruit that represents God. He's living in us. He calls it good fruit here. Verse 17, a good tree bears good fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And so whether we're in the hospital, we get laid off, or we have some kind of older agent happen to us, we got all these things going on in our life, doesn't matter. We're still going to produce this much fruit. That's what he's looking for from us. And then he talks about the bad tree. And I think it's interesting here as we look about living well. The bad tree produces bad fruit. I don't think I even need to define all of that, because I think you already catch it. The bad tree, verse 18 says, cannot bear good fruit. But look at verse 19. It's pretty powerful, and it's right up in our grill. I mean, Jesus wastes no time, brings it right up here and says, here it is. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. In other words, it doesn't meet muster. That's a wide path person. He says they don't live the life I'm asking them to live. I want them to live in victory. Now, most of you were living in this region, perhaps, the last few years, And you know, in Bethlehem, they had what's called the Martin Tower. Martin Tower is a big building, multi-story tall. Some of you maybe worked there, maybe you went in there at some point. It was an impressive building. It wasn't that old when you compare it against some of the buildings of our region, right? But it was a building that ended up having to be destroyed because it was, on the inside, completely contaminated. And they imploded that building and let it go all the way to the ground. Unbelievable. And he says, I don't want you to be like that. Looking good, thinking, and you know, and all this kind of, no. He said, I want you to walk and follow me, even if that means a way of humility for you. The Apostle Paul was walking in faith with God in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He says this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Some of our friends are never going to open a Bible. They're never going to log on to some kind of message. They're never going to tune into some kind of gospel concert or whatever. Not going to happen. But they see you and me, and we are their Bible. And when we live the life of Christ before them, they become interested in that and start saying, hey, what's this about? What's that about? Paul said, follow the example. And the example is what we are supposed to set. The fruit is what we are supposed to bear. And then he says, end well. Look at verse 24 and 26. There are other dichotomies here, but we're just looking at these three. In our faith journey, we want to start well. We want to live well. Now we want to end well. He talks about the common need that these people had in his story as he is talking here. And the common need that they had was they both needed shelter, right? So they build a house. They both need rest because you do that at your house. You kind of chill. And then they needed some fellowship where they were renewed and where they interacted with other people and had some fun. But they have a common threefold experience that hits them in this story Jesus is telling in our passage today. He says, rain comes and hits their roof. Winds come and beat against the structure. And we've had some wind and some rain lately, right? We've had some of that. It's like, goodness gracious, is a wolf out there huffing and puffing and blowing my house down? What is this going on outside? It's, you know, it's really, really happening all around, right? And then it says it doesn't stop there, but the waters begin to rise because there ends up being some kind of a flood. And that's going to challenge not just the roof, not just the structure itself, but the foundation of the whole thing. And the comparison of the houses is given then. The one that was built on solid rock, verse 24 says, it is able to stand, it's able to hold. Therefore, anyone, Jesus says, who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rock is Jesus, the rock is Jesus' teaching, and they are the solid foundation that whatever comes at us in life, whatever happens in our office, whatever happens in our families, whatever happens in our neighborhood, whatever happens in our clubs we go to, whatever happens among our friendships, we stand on the rock which is our Lord Jesus. The psalmist wrote it this way in 62, 6 and 7. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation, my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock. He is my refuge. And then there is the other one given to us. Look at verse 26 of your passage. This is a person who built on wrong beliefs and followed the wrong path. It was not a path of Christ. It did not honor him. It did not honor his teaching. And the winds came, the rains came, and all the stuff came. And it wouldn't last. It's like building your house just on wealth. Building a house just on the applause of people. Building a house on endless pleasurable experiences. All of these different things. It won't work. Let's go back downtown again. Allentown this time. When you go downtown in Allentown, you're here in 1994. January, they take you on a tour of the town. It looks great. They're pretty proud of a particular building. It's called Corporate Plaza. Little do you know that this new building is not going to be standing much more than a month from now. Because on February the 24th or 23rd of 1994, most of us woke up to the news that the seven-story or multi-story corporate plaza had collapsed in on itself in a V shape. You remember that? I remember that. It was right downtown Allentown. We live not that far over in Bethlehem from there. I was surprised. A lady who worked there in that office said, you know, I should have known something was up because almost every day I had to straighten a picture that was on my wall. It really didn't come as a surprise because the builders of that building said we had to build extra leggings out into the dirt around it to spread out the weight of that building so it would be able to hold that building. So we had to put extra, I didn't even know they did that, legs out into the soil in the outer area so it would hold. Didn't know that. On the last day, on the 22nd, a lady and her friend were in the building. She was getting some things from her office, doing some things. She said the building sounded like it was alive because it was kind of groaning and no one was there. And the next day, that made national, international news. It was crazy. Today you may find yourself built on the solid rock. I know most do. And that's a rejoicing, happy, satisfied reality. And some may say, well, I find myself today on the sand because they found under the corporate plaza, they said it had a porous limestone and had two large sinkholes that emerged. Look it up, read it, you can see. That's what the belief was of what collapsed that place. Or you might even say, well, I'm kind of need to reset today. And maybe you haven't collapsed, but you're like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It had to be closed for about 12 years, and then in 01 it was reopened, and they went down below, and they removed some dirt, and they did about $25 million worth of renovation underneath to try to get it back up, because the soil of that area is sand, and it is not made to sustain a building like that. And the last thing we want to have happen in a place like this is for you to attend services here and to build on the wrong thing in your life. Outside of here. Life is too short. The decision is too important to allow ourselves to just blow through it. And Jesus shares these common stories with the hope of uncommon living where we will follow him. The sand failed the inspection. Jesus, the solid rock, passed the inspection. Perhaps you heard the name Kayla Montgomery. She was a runner. In high school, Kayla was rated number 21 fastest in high school female runners in the nation. She was fast. Along about 14, 15, somewhere in there, they noticed some deficiencies in her body and she ended up contracting or getting or however it had gotten, I'm not sure, but she ended up having MS began to attack her body. Well, to a runner, to anyone, that would be really, wow. No, we don't want this. No. As it continued to place its grip into her body, by the time she reached age 15 and was moving on, her legs, when she would run for about the 1 mile marker from her waist down, her legs would go numb. She told her track coach, she said, I still want to run and I want to run fast. He said, the only way that's going to be able to be possible is for me to stand at the end of the race and somehow catch you, because the races were longer than a mile and she would run for a mile, and from then on it was like her legs were in automatic and she could not slow down. She had no way to physically slow her body down. He said, I will catch you. I will go to every race and I will catch you if you want to race. She said, I do. Colleges came to draft her. She was well, well known. At every race from then on, she would run with the confidence knowing that her coach would be at the end of the race and that no matter how fast she was going, she was to run right to where he was. He was going to tackle her. He wasn't going to move. And it would be quite a collision and he would get her. She would start screaming, my leg, please help. She'd say that over and over again. She'd come to the end of the races. And he would say, I've got you, I've got you, I'm going to take care of you. And he would take her over to where they would put ice and cold packs on her legs until her legs cool back down and she could have feeling in them again. And I want to tell you what, we take the right path. We live the way he has asked us to live. We follow him all the days of our life. And in our spiritual journey, as we come to the end, we will have the wind beat against us. We will have the rains come. We will have the floods happen. But if we're standing on a solid rock, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You are building on what you need to be built on, and he will catch you. And he will take you into his heaven. And you will hear him say, I've got you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that I've prepared for you. It's great all the way from here. Thank you, Jesus, for the great provisions you have given to us.